guest hotline right now. Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's where we find our buddy Albert Breer. And Albert, we were just singing your praises. Early on, you said it was worse than people thought. It certainly went longer than we anticipated. And then Friday, you had some good news we read on the air that maybe things were a little better than people thought they might be at that time. So let's just start with your reaction to the news today that they got something done and to these initial figures of 3 and 96 mil.
Yeah, I mean, I think that these things can be difficult, like, at times. And I think this one was particularly tough for a couple of different reasons. I think for the team, you know, obviously they've got still relatively new people in there trying to establish precedents, trying to establish rules. And, you know, the reality is when you're negotiating a contract like this, everyone else in the locker room is paying attention, right? Including their agents. And so, like, you got that element of it in a very data-driven, new regime that's coming in and how they're going to handle players. And then, you know, on the other side of the table, you have a star player who has absolutely given you everything that you could possibly want from a player, from a professional, and who has ridden out some really tough times to get to where you are and where he is now. And so naturally he's going to look at it as, I have invested so much in this franchise, and, you know, rightfully so, he probably feels like he's owed something, right? So that can be a difficult spot for both sides to be in. They were pretty far apart at the beginning. They made up a lot of ground more recently. And, you know, this just feels to me like one of those ones that just maybe needed a deadline, you know, and the deadline is the beginning of the season and you're getting closer and closer. And now you're about to break camp or you have broken camp and you're coming close to the deadline or to the cut down day, to cut down day. And, you know, I think what you see, at least on paper now, I haven't like gotten a chance to dig into the nitty gritty of the contract, but this is a million short of where DK Metcalf was on APY on average per year. But the flip side, it's 1 year less than DK Metcalf. So the Commanders have 1 year less of control, one fewer year of control than the Steelers do over Metcalf. So I think that's your compromise there. And I never sensed that Terry wanted to be anywhere else but in Washington. And on the flip side, I know, like, that Dan Quinn holds Terry McLaurin in the highest regard as somebody he could build his program around. So I think this is the conclusion we were bound to get to. And, you know, again, like, maybe it's just one of those where it takes a deadline to push everybody into the middle.
Albert, when did this go from acrimonious? I mean, it was to a degree. How much, I think only those parties that were in the room all the time would know.
Yeah.
When did it go from acrimonious to, hey, we might actually be able to get something done here?
Well, I mean, like, there's acrimonious and then there's a different level of that, right? Like, and so acrimonious is like we vehemently disagree. I don't think this ever got to the point where it was like, I can't play there anymore, or the team saying we can't have this around anymore. Like, it was never at that point. Was there like natural acrimony over the pace of the negotiations over where the other side was? Yeah. I mean, but that's natural. I think that there was a pretty big disagreement on his value, you know, and what complicated things, of course, was his age. And then he's turning 30 in September. No player wants to hear that, but, you know, there's a reality to it in the way that those things can factor into a player doing a new contract, you know. And so did they have, like, some really big disagreements on value? Yes, they did. Was this ever at a point where it's acrimonious to the degree where you're going to say, I can't play there anymore, or we can't have him on the team anymore? Not even close. You know, I always got the sense that Terry wanted to play in Washington. And I have no doubt that the Commanders weren't even considering a scenario where McLaurin wasn't on the team in 2025.
Albert Breer on Grant and Danny. So, Albert, most of the time we wouldn't care about this, but because of the divisiveness and this being Peter's first real big opportunity to do a stare down like this, we're fascinated to see who caved and what the numbers actually look like. Do you know anything about the guaranteed money or the actual value of the contract?
Yeah, I mean, I just had the raw numbers that are out there. There's a $30 million signing bonus, which is something that's nice to get up front. I also know that this is the, I believe this is the biggest contract ever done for a, it might be non-quarterback, but at least receiver of Terry's age. So, you know, he gets that feather in his cap. The guarantees, of course, as you guys know, is where the rubber meets the road. And so I guess this is what they would call the age 30 season, right? Like, so the key to me will be what's in his age 32 season. I think you can fairly assume that there's that this year is guaranteed, that most, if not all, of next year is guaranteed. So to me, the most interesting number, and I think what you guys are going to want to dig into and see is what portion of his number for 2027 is guaranteed. Because it's, you know, obviously this year, like he's getting his money this year, right? Like that's not even a debate. So then the question becomes, did he get an extra year or did he get two extra years? I think that'll be the interesting one to look at.
So you mentioned the new regime coming in and sort of setting the tone. I mean, it's a fine line to walk because you need to be smart in terms of hoarding your salary cap space and, you know, being able to build the roster to help guys win, but you also want to take care of people. How did they do kind of this first go around in your mind? Again, it's a tough tightrope to walk.
Yeah. And I think like one of the keys to me was allowing Dan Quinn to be the football coach and Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator and making sure that like those relationships were always where they needed to be. And I think that's important, you know, like, cause you know, at the end, sometimes there can be hard feelings that are left over from a negotiation like this. And so setting it up in a way where, you know, like the guys who are going to be hands-on with Terry when the season starts, those guys were in his corner. You know what I mean? Like and those guys, there wasn't really any sort of issue that they were going to have with Terry there. So I like that. You know, and I also think that, like, just as far as setting the tone for the negotiation, showing discipline but not costing any games, I think, has to be a win. Now, would you rather have this done at the beginning of training camp? Absolutely. And is there some lessons that maybe the Commanders can take from this? Sure. You know, but in the end, he's not going to miss any games. You would hope, like, and I think everybody, you know, whether you root for the Commanders or any of the other 31, like everybody who likes football is hoping that this doesn't go the way that CeeDee Lamb's season went last year, where the hamstring was a problem, you know, coming out of a lengthy holdout. But I think overall, the Commanders come out of this looking better than the Bengals do right now with Trey Hendrickson, better than the Cowboys do with Micah Parsons. And, you know, for a team in its first go around in this sort of situation, it's, you know, that's a good thing. And hey, here's the other thing too, guys. Like I've always felt this way. And I've said this to people from the very start of it. Like the one thing that the Commanders 100% had going for them there is there was never going to be a problem with paying Terry McLaurin. They were always going to be able, no matter what they gave him, whether it was 30, 35, 40, whatever it was, right. They were always going to be able at the end of this to point to Terry McLaurin and look everybody the rest of the locker room in the eye and say, that's what we pay. That's the kind of person that we pay. That's the kind of pro that we pay. That's the kind of player that we pay. And that to me is like what protects the Commanders in this whole thing is like, no matter what you give him, he is a shining example of what they're going to reward. And, you know, obviously that's a really good thing. And I know, you know, guys like Dan Campbell and Cliff and everybody else there, are pretty grateful that, you know, in inheriting a situation that was broken in a lot of ways, they got a player like that they can point to in that way.
Albert Breer, check him out, SIMMQB, monitoring the entire league. Hey, real quick, what else are you working on? What are some of the big stories you got?
Well, we got a lot going on right now, Dan. Grant, you know that. Like, so I had my 26th training camp stop today, so...
you made it to how many?
26?
I'm six short.
You were slacking. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you. Like, I think 32 is impossible in this day and age. John Clayton, God rest his soul, used to find a way to pull off 32. I think that was back in the days of two-a-days, and he might have fibbed a little where he maybe, like, drove by one of the camps and just waved.
Quick selfie,
Does the 26, if you hit a joint practice, you can knock out two, right?
Right. And those can be tricky, though. Like, those are like, and I think you guys have been to those are kind of a cluster, you know? So, when I've gone to those, what I try to do is I try to go to the visiting team's hotel the night before. And that's actually what kind of created the situation for me last week when I was with the Commanders. I was going to do the Commanders Ravens joint practice, and then they canceled it. Right. So, I can't remember which team. I think maybe it was the Ravens that canceled it. I can't remember, but at any rate, like, then I was like, okay, like, what do I do? And I will tell you guys that driving from Owings Mills, Maryland to Ashburn, Virginia, like, I was like 70 miles and it said like an hour and a half on the Maps app. And I'm like, that's 70 miles. I can do that. And you know how you try to beat it. So I'm like, I could do that in under an hour.
Good luck with that.
You can't do it in under an hour. Yeah, it's a lot of back roads. I drove by like a cigarette outlet, which I hadn't seen one of those in probably 25 years. The sweetest corn in three states was one of the signs I drove by there. So it was, that was one of the more interesting days of the last month for me.
I hope you got some sweet corn in your travels.
It's very sweet.
Well, like a lot of the farm stands out there are really cool. Actually, that was, you're driving over. I can't, is it 17? What's the 15? Whatever it was, you're driving over the Maryland, Virginia state line. It was kind of a cool little drive there. One of those things that you probably won't ever see again if not for doing these sorts of things, you know.
Well, we'll be tracking everything.
Actually a covered bridge too, if you guys want to check that out. There's a covered bridge that I drove through across the state line.
Ooh, okay. I dig that.
Yeah. That's way out west there, yeah.
No, the content's been awesome. The travel was well worth it because the stories and all of the insights been great. Keep it up, and thanks for a couple minutes.
No, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Have a good one, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Well, there's Albert Breer, MMQB, NSI, with us on Grant and Danny. You can check out his work there.